Let's begin reading in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. And our main verses this morning are going to be verses 16 through 19. But we're going to go back through verse number 1, and we're going to read up to verse number 19. That way we can kind of refresh ourselves here. Verse number 1 of chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy says this. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul's basically telling Timothy, hey, there's going to be some hardships that's going to come up in the ministry, and you're going to have to endure these things. It's not a time for you to quit. It's not a time for you to walk away. But it's a time to really buckle down and do what? Julie, what's the word I'm going to use? No, stand. Stand. Verse number 4 says this. It says, "No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we also shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God." Okay, we dealt with this a few weeks ago. What does it not say here in this verse? It doesn't say it's study to show thyself approved to who? Exactly. It doesn't say that. Paul's very specific. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Okay, now we're going to get into our text this morning. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat us as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let's have a word of prayer, and as I pray outwardly, I'm going to ask you to pray silently to the Lord that God would begin to minister to your heart through the teaching of his word. Lord, we are grateful that we are able to be here this morning. We thank you for the love that you have for us. I thank you for your people who are faithful to showing up and wanting to hear what you have in store for us today. Lord, I pray for the next hour to come as I'm going to be dealing with a different subject this morning. God, I pray that if there's somebody here, if they have yet to come to know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to convict their heart so that they can walk out of here a new person this morning. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. The title that I've given this morning is Be Cautious. Very simple, be cautious. We left off with Paul telling Timothy the importance of studying. Would you folks agree this morning that in order to learn the Word of God, what must we do? We got to study. That's why a lot of people don't know about God's Word, because they don't take the time to study. It wasn't for him to be approved unto man, but as I said earlier, it's to be approved unto God. So often we do things to please not God, but we do things to please who? Ourselves, exactly. Ourselves and man. That's what the world's designed around nowadays. It's not about trying to approve themselves unto God, but hey man, I wanna please man because man can give me glory. Man can praise me. Can I remind us of these things? Man's praise, man's glory is just temporal. It doesn't compare to eternity with God. Amen? So Don't try to do these things for man's approval. Do it because you want God's approval. And we forget who it is that we are to please. We are to please God. Studying the Word of God also brings you to the point of this: knowing how to rightly divide the Word of God. That's why verse number 15 ends with this: study to show thyself approved unto God. And then it says this: rightly dividing the Word of truth. I feel sorry, and I'm being serious, I feel sorry for any individual that doesn't take the time to study his word. You know, I'm not going to do this, but if I were to do this morning, if I were to ask for a raise of hands to see who studied God's word this week, I'd kind of be scared to see the response, to be honest with you. But we need to take the time to study his word, and I feel sorry for individuals who don't really take the time to do this. It is true that I talk of this on many occasions. And you say, okay, here you go again, Chad. You're gonna beat us into our brain that we need to study God's word. But it isn't done to demean people. It isn't done to be mean to people. It isn't done to make people feel guilty. It is done for this reason: to be an encouragement so that your relationship with God gets deepened. That's why it's done. And so I hope that when you hear anybody who is telling you the importance of studying God's word, they're doing it for this. They want to encourage you. They want your spiritual level not to stay here, but they want your spiritual level to go up so that your relationship is deepened with God. Now, don't you want to grow closer to your wife or your husband, or wouldn't you want those things, or your friends? Well, how does that take place? You begin to study the individuals. My wife knows me like no other. Why? Because she takes the time to study me. And with that being said, the relationship is deep. And we got to do that with God as well. So it's done to be an encouragement so we can get to a place of having a deeper relationship with God. And then, for this reason as well, not so that you just have a deeper relationship with God, but with this being said, so that you'll have more knowledge of God's word. Let's face it. Let's be honest with ourselves. We do not have enough knowledge of God's word. And I'm throwing myself under the bus here. And we need to get to the point where, hey, God, it's all about you. It's not about me, but it's all about you. And I want to study your word. I want to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth for this reason, so that I can have more knowledge of you. So often, people have a surface knowledge. And that's not what we're after this morning. So we want to have more knowledge of God's word. This is exactly what Paul was striving for in this conversation. When you read God's word, I want to share something with you. When you read God's word, you look at 1 Timothy, you look at 2 Timothy, you look at Paul. We're reading this letter, but this is a conversation that he's having with this young man, that he's trying to inspire to continue to go on in God's word, to continue to teach God's people. So in this conversation, Paul was striving to get Timothy to understand, Timothy, it's not just about preaching. It's about studying God's word so that you can have more knowledge of him. Here's why some get upset when this is said, when it comes to studying God's word. Here's why people get upset. Because it's conviction, because it isn't being practiced in their life. That's what it boils down to. When anybody gets upset from the preacher or the missionary or the evangelist preaching the word of God, it's not because they're mad at the preacher. They're mad because conviction is there, and they don't want to deal with it. So with that being said, I am so thankful for those who study, and I'm thankful for those that allow their relationship to grow with God. I'm thankful for those people. I have folks that will call me throughout the week, and they'll share verses or they'll share a passage that they read that week. Or I'll get text on the phone, and they'll text me the verse, and sometimes, many of the times, there's no explanation around that. It's just a verse. And they're sharing what God has done in their life. And what I'm seeing is a deepened relationship. That's important. It's important to have. So I'm thankful for those who allow themselves that study time. I'm thankful for those that recognize, hey, my relationship with God needs to be better than what it was yesterday. Could we all not agree that yesterday's relationship with God needs to be improved upon today? Every single one of us probably agree with that. Now in verse number 16, now that we've caught up with our lesson, we see Paul given the reason to be studying the Word of God. It is for the use of shunning profane and vain babblings. Okay, let's read verse 15 again, down to verse number 16. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. Why? For they will increase unto more ungodliness. In other words, don't get caught up in unbiblical conversations. False teachings would be the warning here. You know, our world is surrounded with false teachers. It is scary to see what is actually out there. How people, and I got to say people because you can't just say man now, because it's women that are behind the pulpit as well. People who are corrupting the Word of God. It's very sad to see these things take place. So Paul gives the reason for this. It's because it'll lead to what? What's it say at the end of verse number 16? What's it going to lead to? More ungodliness, exactly. And that's not what we want in our life. Paul also mentioned this in 1 Timothy. Go ahead and turn back there. It's just one page if you're in my Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says this in verse number 20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. What's it say here? Say it with me, class. Avoiding profane and vain babblings in oppositions of science falsely so-called. So in other words, in a nutshell, don't get involved in what? Gossip. Taking a little twist here. But we all love a juicy story, don't we? We all love a juicy story. It's like, I don't want to hear it, but at the same time you're saying, yeah, come on. I want to hear some more. Give me some more dirt on Charlie. Don't shake your head like you don't have any dirt, Charlie. Julie's already opened up your closet. We know those things. No, we're kidding. But we all love a juicy story. And shortly, we will see two people who gossiped and spoke falsely. We'll see this here in a little bit. But go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I've already told you how I get Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. The initials are God eats popcorn with a Coke. That's how I do that. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29, it says this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I mention this verse for a reason, because we're going to see this here. Here is what Paul is saying here. Speak the truth and only the truth. I bring this verse up for a reason, because in 2 Timothy, we are reading about two people who are not speaking of the truth. And we'll see this here. Unfortunately, people have a hard time speaking the truth. Can I ask you a question this morning? This is even in my notes. When you think of a politician, what do you think of? A liar, exactly. We think of them as people not telling the truth. And people say, well, Donald Trump told the truth. No, he did not. He did not. There were times he told a huge lie. Some of you folks will get that here in a little bit, but that's okay. Speak the truth and only the truth. But people have a hard time speaking the truth. Why? We're sinners by nature. That's why. And with this being said, this isn't edifying anyone by any means. It's really showing how disgraceful we are at times. Let me ask a question here. If the only thing that comes out of your mouth is a lie, as a believer, how can we win someone to Jesus? It's going to be very difficult. See, I remember having a problem when I was a young person. I fabricated a lot of my stories. And at an early age, my mom probably doesn't remember this, and my siblings probably don't remember this either. But I remember one time somebody called me an habitual liar. I didn't know what that meant. I was a young person. Well, later on in life, as I began to get smarter just a little bit, I knew what that word meant. And it meant that I was constantly telling lies. But as a believer, lies should not proceed out of our mouth, but what? Truth is what should be coming out of our mouth. Why? Because we have a world that needs Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not only important for us to speak the truth, but it's important for us to do what? Live the truth. Live the truth. There are so many people that consider themselves God's people. They'll speak the truth, but they won't live the truth. So in other words, what you see on Sundays, you see something totally different on Monday through Saturday. Totally different. So think about that question. If the only thing that comes out of your mouth is a lie, how can we win someone to Jesus? As we go on, if all we do is ridicule the preacher while preaching and others hear you, think about this. How will that affect their walk with God? In other words, if you're a believer and you're talking to another believer and you're speaking lies, you're criticizing the church member, or you're criticizing the pastor, whatever the case may be, how is that going to encourage that believer's walk? It's not going to. You know, that has an effect on people around you. But people don't see those things. Okay? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. I'm going to stop here real quick. The next hour, I was talking to Chris. She gets all my stuff ready for the screen that's going to be up there in the next hour. And I told her last night we're talking. I said, please don't write the verses up there. I said, just give the verse, the chapter and the verse. That's all I want up there. You know why? Because, Tom, I love the sound of Scripture turning in the church. It's a beautiful sound. And so I stopped there because I'm hearing Scriptures just going back and forth. So I just wanted to say that real quick. So in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 20, it says this. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. This passage is a direct result of not shunning profane and vain babblings. So I took a little long way just to get to this point. Gave you some illustrations, but this is what this is saying. Do we not want to be known as a child of God? Think about that real quick. We say we do, but how often do we cower and put ourselves in a corner when we're placed in a position, oh, now I got to take a stand for Christ? We should want to be known as a child of God. We don't want to be known as a child of God that causes these things in a church. I'm going to say this. This is just my thought. It's not coming from the Bible. But I have a hard time believing a person who does this is a saved individual. I truly do. I have a hard time believing a church member, a child of God, is going to go in and going to be speaking lies, going to be talking about false things, and even talking envyings and wraths and strifes of all those things, whisperings and murmurings of other people. I have a hard time believing that they're even saved. But I will say this. I don't know the individual's heart. Salvation is between God and that person. Okay. Got real quiet. All that is taking place is a rapid spread of what? Ungodliness in a church. And this can ruin a church. Ungodliness can ruin a church. If you want to be known as a person who destroys a church, here is some advice to listen to. God will have his revenge upon you because this is God's church. You might think it's funny to go out and try to destroy the preacher. You might want to think it's funny to go out and try to destroy the church. But understand something. This is God's place. And God will have his revenge upon you. I feel sorry for individuals who are vindictive in this way. So here's what happens to those who speak of these words. They will be destroyed. Verse number 17, it says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. We know what a canker is. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. They will be destroyed. Destroyed through the use, through the means of a canker. But in this verse here, these two people were spreading false words about the resurrection has already passed. At one time, I gotta back up with this here. Because these two individuals were not corrupt. At one point, these two individuals were not spreading false gossip or false teachings at one point. At one time, these two started off on the path of teaching correctly. But they veered off. They began to err from the faith. Why did they begin to err from the faith? Just like any false teacher that's out there today, they erred from the faith because, go back to verse number 15. What's it say? Say it out loud, somebody, please. Study to show thyself approved unto God. The reason why they erred from the faith is because of this. They got to a point where they probably felt, man, I know everything there is I need to know. And now I no longer see the point to studying God's word. Until your dying day, you should always be studying God's word. Always. That's one thing I appreciate about my dad so much, which is one of the things I'm really upset about this morning, not having his Bible in my hand this morning. Because I knew how important it was for him to study God's word. So they begin to err from the faith because they didn't study. It seems as if they were teaching that they were already in God's millennial kingdom. So this resulted in the faith of some to be overthrown. Verse number 18 says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Not all, but some. Here is why it's important to be grounded in God's word, for this reason. If you can't get anything else this morning, if you can't remember anything else this morning, please remember this. The reason for this is right here, if I can get back to this, so that we're able to spot a false teacher. I say this for a reason. Even though we're an independent Baptist church, and there's many of them across this country, false teachers have a way of coming in. And if we don't take the time to study God's word, how are we going to be able to spot them? How was Paul able to call out Hymenaeus and Philetus? Because he studied the word of God. He knew immediately when they spoke, they were not speaking the truth. And he called them out on it. Through this, we now see why Paul told Timothy to be the one who studies. I hope I'm getting this across this morning. Verse number 19 encourages me greatly. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this verse encourages me greatly because of this, because it says Jesus knows who belongs to him. What that's saying. I know I belong to God, but I'm so glad God knows who I am. That to me, Tom, if I had the energy this morning and I was able to do it, I'd do backflips all the way out to Brother Nelson. But I can't do backflips anymore. Something's called gravity keeps me down. Anyway, and a bad back, and the fear of falling and hurting myself. But I'm so glad that he knows we belong to him. What a wonderful feeling, knowing by accepting Jesus, we belong to him. You know, that's not being talked about in a lot of churches today. The gospel message is not being talked about in churches today. They're going off in some other false teachings. Oh, what's one of the false teachings? Name it and claim it. That's one of them, the prosperity gospel. So, what a wonderful feeling knowing by accepting Jesus we belong to him. Not just for a few moments, but for eternity. A song just popped in my head as I'm saying the word eternity. And I'm sure it popped in some of your heads too. Here's what I see. I wasn't born into royalty, but I'm so thankful that I have been adopted into it. I'm so thankful that I've been adopted into it. Now, in the rest of this verse, we now have a responsibility on how we are to live. But I'm winding down here very shortly. I've gone through this rather quickly this morning. Normally, you guys are in here till about 10 till. And I can make it drag out for the next 12 minutes. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to. After salvation, we are to be departing from iniquity. Iniquity, I'm going to explain this. Iniquity and sin are two different things. Iniquity will eventually cause us to sin, which is why we are to be departing from it. So why on earth will we flirt with the temptation of sin? We all flirt with it. We all have struggles, do we not? Come on, let's be honest. Let's not come in here this morning and say, "Oh man, I have arrived. I am the most perfect believer that is out there. I face no temptations. I've departed from all the iniquities, so I don't have to have any sin in my life. I am holy." We all have something that digs in our flesh. And we fight it every single day. But every single day, even though we fight it, what do we need to do? It's not up to us to fight. All we have to do is do something. And it's give it to God. God, I struggle with this in my life. You know my shortcomings. You know how weak my flesh is when I even see this or look at this or hear of this. Would you please allow me just to walk away, depart from it? And that's what we need to do. So why on earth will we flirt with the temptation of sin? This answer is simple. Here it is. We are weak individuals who rely upon our strength. What do you mean we rely upon our strength? Well, we don't think God's capable. Let's be honest. There are times we don't think God's capable to work in our life, to get us through things, and we rely on our own strength. But our strength fails us. And we give in to things that we shouldn't be giving in. Because we think that we're stronger than God. But in reality, we're weak individuals. You want to know what a strong person is? Here's the definition of a strong person. One who recognizes that he's weak. That's the definition of a strong person. On the outside, I might look like a strong guy, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very timid and very scared of a lot of things. There's some things that you would think that I'd be able to handle that I can't handle. For an example, Chris and I were driving back from Kurt and Andrew when they lived in Pensacola, and there's a thunderstorm, and we're driving down the road, and I don't like thunderstorms for this reason. Lightning scares me. And here I am, a grown man, with my wife and my daughter, and I believe we had one of our nephews or nieces in the car as well. And we're driving back to go visit my brother Matt, and all, out of nowhere, here comes this flash of lightning. You know what I did? I just think, man, that was cool. I didn't come across strong. I did this. I'm driving, and I went, woo! I screamed like a little girl. I had to pull over and ask Chris to forgive me. Forgive me for being such a weak man. But anyway, that's just a silly illustration. So we're weak individuals. Instead of relying on the strength of God, we rely upon our own strength. So how can we depart from iniquity? The answer is found in verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here's the answer. One, you got to have a solid foundation in the Lord. You know why a lot of believers walk away? You want to know why Open Door Baptist Church and many other churches aren't full every single Sunday? Because many believers do not have a solid foundation. And that's sad. We need to have a solid foundation, not in ourselves, not in anybody else, but in Christ. That's what we need to have. And this is very crucial to have. There is nothing greater than to have a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's telling Timothy in his conversation. He's really giving it to him. Hey, Timothy, you're going to face these things. Don't shy away. Stand. Don't walk away. Just stand. You're going to come across some false teachers. And Timothy, I want you to study God's word so that you can spot them out. Timothy, there's going to be some times that you're going to need to walk away from iniquity. And in order to do that, you've got to have a solid foundation in God. And that's where we need to be. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'm going to give you guys some extra time of fellowship this morning. And all God's people said amen to that one. And some of you guys said that rather loud, but I'll forgive you. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I thank you for your word that you've allowed us to study this morning. I pray, Lord, even though that it is done, I pray that throughout the day and throughout the week that you would allow our minds to go back to be able to think about what was said this morning. Lord, again, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of these people's lives, to serve them. And so, God, I thank you. I love them this morning. I love you this morning as well. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.